Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Big weekend this past weekend. We had the Women's National Championship. Dawn Stately gets her third national title. We've got the Men's National Championship going down tonight. UConn and Purdue, a little battle of, you know, Goliath and Goliath. We also had the Predators split their games on a little northeastern road trip, fall 2-0 to the Islanders on Saturday night, and then 3-2 in a shootout on Sunday night against the New Jersey Devils. We will get into all of that. Willie D. Mace, how are we doing?
Doing well. I can't wait for the solar eclipse today.
What time does it happen?
Exciting. I think around 1, almost 2 o'clock. What is it, 1:50, somewhere around there?
I have your exact day.
Here, yeah, we go. What
Let's
is
see
it?
Here. 94.78% maximum eclipse at 2:03:26.
Oh, so we'd be off. Yes.
2:03.
We'd be off work.
Okay,
so
according to
from
WKRN,
our parking
by the way.
What, are we going to be able to see it? Or?
I think we're 95%, yeah.
Yeah,
might as well.
Wait a minute, I don't have the glasses. What's going
to,
what do I need to get
glasses? Well, my windows are tinted, so I can see.
excuse me.
Yeah.
D-Maze with tinted windows.
Willie, you got tinted windows.
I do have some tinted windows.
See, there we go.
But does that mean?
What am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
Hitch a ride with one of you guys?
Exactly.
Let's just hang in the parking lot until 2:04, whenever it's over.
Can I just put my hand over my eyes and squint and hope for the best?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't advise you to do that. I don't know what would happen if you did that, I wouldn't advise you to do it because they said we should wear glasses, but are they telling us we should wear glasses just because?
And I don't know what those glasses are anyway.
Exactly.
There might be like those like paper 3D glasses you get from the movie theater. Like, is that really what's going to protect me between...
Exactly. You're
well,
right. You know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I'm saying they want us to wear glasses because they don't want us to see what's really behind there.
I feel like we need to get the suit on this. I feel like the suit has connections. He can get some glasses to the studio in time for us to see this.
Exactly.
Suit, if you're listening.
We need a little help.
Get on that, please.
Glasses, you think, like, Uber would, like... Uber some like glasses from the Adventure Science Center.
Uber glasses?
Yeah, you think that's
not
possible?
Uber Eats, but Uber glasses?
Yeah, maybe like get like a fry from McDonald's. But hey, Uber Eats some fries, but stop at Adventure Science Center and grab some glasses for
Will
us.
You just run all of our errands for us, please. Get us a snack, some glasses.
Might as well.
Perhaps a nice
Wes
beverage.
Got us, right? Yeah, go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, Wes. Yeah. Wes is looking, listening.
Yeah, Wes, we appreciate the hash brown casserole. We would like to graduate to
some
Eclipse glasses,
please.
Yeah,
Eclipse glasses.
Eclipse, please.
Yeah, we need, 4 or 5 pair. We'll be good.
All right. I feel our
But other than that, sports was great this weekend. Nashville Predators split. So the magic number is what? 1 point?
1 point.
One. So they can do it, right?
I feel like they're going to do it.
They can do it.
Do you feel like you're ready to
Willie,
say
do you feel like they can do it? Like
I feel good about it.
You sure?
Yep, I feel good.
Willie, are they making the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Willie said yes.
I feel good.
Yes.
I think we've
got
it.
There really
is an
eclipse happening today.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's strange things afoot. Willie is saying they're making it to the playoffs.
It would be incredible for it not to happen at this point, but so they get a chance to do it on home ice. We all piled into the bus last night to watch. The Ducks almost pulled it off last night. They came from behind. Had they beaten the Blues, that would have done it. The Blues survived after the Predators got the shootout win. So now you've got 4 games to get 1 point, or the Blues failed to get
a point.
1 point.
Yeah.
So I like their chances on that.
So Willie's saying they're going to make the playoffs.
And it has been an incredible race. Like that win by the Islanders, they are desperate. And they played so desperate. Nashville completely outplayed them. And it just looked like something out of a movie, just protecting the house to the last moment. They all were just collapsing in front of the goalie, and the goalie's making.
They just had insane golden.
Yes.
Tonight.
It's incredible that the numbers of shots and attempts, it's just almost impossible that they didn't score one goal.
Yeah.
And we look back, it's been 5 years since anybody's put that type of heat on a goalie and didn't score. But it happened, and the Islanders got it. So it was a good bounce back last night because they were in sort of the same thing. Jake Allen was playing really well, and it was like, are they going to get snake bit again and have another game where you're like, we had a million chances and nothing went in? But they found a way to tie it up. It got the win, and that's 2 big points. Now they're all but there, and now it starts to look at, you know, what are the matchups look like? If there's some things coming into focus a little bit, still not for sure, but there were some developments over the weekend that I know we'll touch on a little bit later. Start with Dallas with a big win in Colorado last night.
Goodness.
Dominated the Avs in Colorado, which is hard to do. So Dallas looks like they've now got a stranglehold on the one seed in the Central and probably the one seed in the West. So wild card two is going to play Dallas. That's what we think we know at this point, barring a big, big change in the next week and a half.
And that, you know, your preferred matchup, which we talked to Elliot about, and he said it's truly a pick your poison, you know, however you want to go down swinging, because whether it's Vancouver or Dallas or Colorado, it's going to be a tough go. It's going to be a tough series no matter who you are going to play. But I think that my preferred playoff opponent, my perception has changed a little bit on that. Ooh, my opinion has changed a little bit on that. But we'll get more into the Predators weekend. The process rather than the results, I think, is the more important thing to look at with this this two-game series, this back-to-back that the Predators had over the weekend. So we'll get into that. But I wanted to start here because the Titans are beginning to start their top 30 visits. Malik Nabers and Alabama tackle J.C. Latham will interview today with the Tennessee Titans. We are just a few weeks away from the draft. I also think it's very appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. The Titans are meeting with a receiver, one of the top receivers in this draft, and they're meeting with one of the top tackles in this draft. And it feels like this day of top 30 visits is like a microcosm of everything that we've been talking about through the entire offseason with the Tennessee Titans. Everything that we've been talking about since Brian Callahan got hired as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. So much of our conversation has been receiver or tackle, specifically before free agency, and then the Titans made the moves and the acquisitions that they did in free agency, and the Titans went out and got Calvin Ridley, and maybe that quieted our conversations about a receiver for a while. But I think this is indicative that the Titans are not necessarily completely satisfied with the receiver position, because I don't think that they would be hosting Malik Nabers for a top 30 visit if receiver was completely off the table. And we've talked a lot about this, and we will most likely, frankly, continue to talk about this over the next couple of weeks as we get into NFL draft time. But looking at the visits today, J.C. Latham and Malik Nabers, and we've had the talk, you know, is it Joe Alt or Nabers or Rome Odunze or Marvin Harrison, if they are there. And we can all have our own opinion about what we think the Titans should do. And I think we all have our opinions about what we think the Titans should do. But whenever we have that conversation about skill position player or tackle, or receiver or tackle, I keep going back to what Brian Callahan said early in this process. And that was, I tend to lean elite touchdown scorer over non-elite touchdown scorer. He even said that when he was the offensive coordinator with the Cincinnati Bengals. He said that on our show. And of course, that's not a philosophy that's going to be applicable to every single team and every single year as long as he's with the Tennessee Titans. And sometimes you just need an elite non-touchdown scorer. Mm-hmm. Like, you need those two on your team. But with that in mind, and with some of the top 30 visits that are going down today, again, Malik Nabers and J.C. Latham meeting with the Tennessee Titans, how does that kind of, where's our mindset at, keeping in mind what Brian Callahan said about the elite touchdown scorer? Is Malik Nabers that elite touchdown scorer?
I mean, in college he was, obviously. He, depending on who you're speaking with, he's either the best receiver coming out this year or he's just behind Marvin Harrison Jr. I think when Brian Callahan said that, you know, obviously the Titans didn't have that elite score from a receiver standpoint. Now, listen, D-Hop is a damn good receiver, but when you're talking about drafting one of these Odunze's, Harrison, or Nabers, you're talking about explosiveness, not just touchdowns, explosive plays. And they just didn't have much of that last year. But I now that they got Calvin Ridley, I think it may change a little bit because he was speaking from a place, I think at the beginning, we don't have that right now. So if you're asking me this question right now, I would tend to take an elite score, touchdown score, over anything else. Well, they went out and they guaranteed damn over $50 million to a receiver, that makes him your elite scorer, you know, your elite playmaker on the outside. So now you may be able to pivot somewhere else. I'm not solely, you know, dismissing or saying that it can't happen with them drafting a receiver, but I think them coming in, the neighbors, you know, whether it's neighbors or anybody else, it's we have to bring them in just in case something happens. We have to have several different avenues to travel. If Alt goes before we pick, what do we do? If two tackles go before we pick, what do we do? If a team moves up ahead of us, what do we do? So bringing in neighbors, bringing in some of these other players, I don't look too far into it in regards to this is why I think they're going to draft. I think they're bringing these players in because they're a part of the big picture. If we don't draft this guy, if someone else drafts this guy, then maybe we will draft this other guy. So we always got to have a contingency plan in it.
Yeah, I don't read too much into the visits because I think you've got to, even if you have absolutely no interest, mm-hmm. which I think they, like you said, there's a lot of reasons why you want to be prepared mm-hmm. for a draft to go any direction. And so you need to do that. But even if you do not intend to draft these guys, mm-hmm. a wide receiver, and I would be surprised yeah. if they drafted a wide receiver, I think you want to send the signal to everybody. You want to have your poker face, right? Mm-hmm. You want to keep your hand and just kind of keep everybody guessing. Well, if they didn't bring in a single receiver, wouldn't you be telegraphing some things? Or you'd be going opposite, right? There's so many mind games
right.
that you play as the GM to try to keep everybody guessing. You don't want to give away what you're thinking. And I think teams have gotten pretty good at that.
Yeah, so whether they bring them in or not, I mean, you know, to me, it's we're not, like Willie said, we're not going to show our hand. We're going to bring these players in because we consider them top 30 players. Mm-hmm. In regards to how we're evaluating. So they may bring in a safety or a corner, you know, next week before the draft. But does that tell us they're going to draft one of those guys in the first round or the second round? Mm-hmm. Probably not, but at least we get an opportunity to sit down and talk with them that just in case if they're there and the guy that we want is gone, then that could be an option. And we've already sat down and talked with this player, so we know this player a little bit more than what we did, you know, going through the combines and whatnot.
Right. Well, and, you know, you're 30 visits.
Yeah.
And one first-round pick. Mm-hmm. So you're not exactly. It's not an indication.
And you have the seventh pick. It's not like you have the 29th pick.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? It's not an indication of, oh, that's the guy that they're taking mm-hmm. just because they're bringing him in for a visit because he is one of 30. Mm-hmm. So it could be neighbors. It could be Latham. It could be any player that they bring in for a top 30 visit. One thing, though, is it depends on how we look at it. Mm-hmm. Because I think as far as the top 30 visits are concerned, it's less about a smoke screen and less about trying to throw everybody off your trail and more about, okay, let's get to know these guys that could very much so be a possibility for us to take in the first round, whether it's at 7, whether the Titans trade back, whatever it might be. We want to get in front of them. We want to see them face to face. Rand Carthon talked about the importance to him of learning the person and not just the player. So I don't take it lightly when the Titans do bring in a player for mm-hmm. a top 30 visit because you only get 30 of them, and there are hundreds of players in this draft. Does this mean the Titans are taking Malik Nabers with the 7th overall pick? Maybe. It mm-hmm. could. It's not definite. I know a lot of Titans fans got excited whenever they saw some of the top 30 visits. It means that, hey, we like you. Mm-hmm. We think that you're an option for us at 7, and we want to learn more about you. And I think when it goes back to kind of Brian Callahan's philosophy mm-hmm. or, you know, his thought process of when it's available, I'll take the elite touchdown scorer over the non-elite touchdown scorer. We asked Brian Callahan early, I guess this was late February. Mm-hmm. So this was combine time. We asked Brian Callahan. So you talk about the elite touchdown scores. Well, that doesn't mean just any old touchdown score. That means elite touchdown score. That's what Ja'Marr Chase was mm-hmm. in the Cincinnati Bengals' minds, which is why they ultimately decided to take Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. So does he view these receivers, Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison, and Malik Nabers, who they're bringing in for a visit today, does he view those players as elite touchdown scorers? This was Brian Callahan.
Yeah, those guys are really impressive, a little bit that I've seen. Obviously, I'm kind of just starting the college scouting process. But, man, those guys are pretty dynamic, both very different, skill sets and styles. But they can both play football. And, you know, I think one of the things that's, you know, unique and probably different than it was in this current situation is in Cincinnati we were picking at five, and we were picking against two players that were both pretty well consensus that they were going to be all pro caliber players. And so the talent level was equal, and all things being equal, we chose to go with the guy that could score points. I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case every year in the draft. And so picking a seven, there might be a tackle that is a better player ultimately than the receiver, or a receiver that is better than whatever tackle is available. And in that case, you have to make that decision. I don't think that you can take that situation in Cincinnati and necessarily totally parallel it to where we are now. It makes for good conversation, but I do think the situations are dramatically different, and the types of players are going to be very different. But the good thing is there's a lot of really good ones to pick from when you're picking at seven.
I have a feeling Brian Callahan was telling just a wee bit of a fib there when he said that he hasn't dove into the college tape. Like, Brian, it's late February. Like, yeah, you're watching the college tape. You don't start that process in April.
Yeah, you've been watching it.
But I think the key thing that he says there is, when all things are equal, mm-hmm. I'll take the elite touchdown scorer over the non-elite or the elite non-touchdown scorer. But that doesn't mean that things are equal. That Joe Alt could be a better player and prospect than Malik Nabers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to take the player that you view as not as good of a prospect just because that player can score touchdowns.
I think what he possibly meant by if all things were equal, because if you're comparing, there's no equal when you're comparing a left tackle to a wide receiver or a left tackle to a running back. There's no equal to that. I think what he means is if it's all equal, meaning we need a wide receiver, tight end, something else, a tackle, or offense. Let's just say an offensive lineman. To me, that's all things are equal. Like, we need them all. So which one do we then pick? All right. I mean, if we get the left tackle, he's going to be an all-pro. If we get the receiver, he's going to be an all-pro. We need them both. Let's go with the receiver now. Maybe we can pick up a tackle or a guard in the second round, or maybe we just wait next season and get the guy that we want, or get him through free agency. And that's eventually what they end up doing, I believe. They end up drafting one, but they end up going into free agency and getting a tackle.
The Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they end up going to free agency. This isn't equal here. They have two receivers, and I hope three once the season gets started, meaning Treylon Burks. They don't have a left tackle at all. So this is not equal by any stretch of the imagination.
To be fair, the Bengals did have two receivers as well.
No, they didn't. They really just had T. Higgins, and he was coming. It was his second season. Tyler Boyd was never going to be really. To them, they looked at Tyler Boyd as a three. That's why they drafted T. Higgins the previous year, and that's why they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, because they felt T. As much as they probably liked Tyler Boyd at the time, they didn't believe he was a one or a two. So they went out and got T. Higgins, and then the next following season, they went out and got Ja'Marr Chase. So to me, things are, in this situation, it's not equal. You need a tackle. You got a receiver. You went out and paid him a lot of money. You don't have a tackle at all. So to me, there's no equal in this. It's either we're going to take the left tackle, or if he's there, or if he's not there and we feel the next guy may not be worthy of the seventh pick, then I think they move down. I'm not sure if they look at wide receiver as a dire need in the first round. They're going to have their 30 visits. Why? Because some of these guys that they have may slip into the second round or may slip even further than that. So we want to be able to have a conversation with them, get to know them, and sort of fill them out. So just in case they do drop to me, whether it be in the second round or third, well, not the third round, second round or fourth round, now we've had a conversation with this young man.
I think the most important thing to remember is these are people. The philosophy is one thing, the touchdown maker versus the left tackle, all of these things. But I think you want, for the visit, to try as best you can to learn about the person.
Yeah.
If somebody switches to the second or slips to the second round, that's a big reason to do it. And also, you never know down the road 4 or 5 years from now, if a guy becomes available in free agency or a trade or something like that, and you say, okay, we have a relationship. It may not be deep, but we've done our homework on him. We've learned about the person. Because ultimately, you got to believe in the person. Malik Nabers could be completely different than Ja'Marr Chase, right? Forget about the tools that he has as a wide receiver and the ability to score touchdowns. And do you need a wide receiver more important? Is it wide receiver in today's game more important than a left tackle? All of these things that are important, but the person might be the most important. The person.
And that's one.
That's why you can't compare, I think, the two situations.
And what the Bengals did, and Brian Callahan said that, that what the Bengals did in the 2021 draft is not necessarily indicative of what they are going to do this season, because not all factors are the same. Because not all free agencies are the same. Not all position groups in every single draft have the same amount of depth and have the same amount of players that are available in some of the later rounds. But you bring up the person. There have been some concerns about one player that the Titans are bringing in for a top 30 visit. How much are we buying that? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One quick thing that I wanted to address before we get to break. We have a lot of texts in our text line about the eclipse. Let me just remind everyone, we are not medical doctors.
Yeah.
And nothing that we are saying is medical advice. I feel the need to put that out there based off of some of the texts that we now have in the text line.
Oh, wow.
We're joking.
Yes.
If you want to watch the eclipse, take proper safety precautions.
Exactly.
I'll put that out there just so we can maybe... Just put that out there. All right, great.
It's fair.
All right, thank you so much. Okay, we'll get into, are we buying some of this conversation going on about one of the top prospects in this year's draft? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
No, Malik, why are they talking about you? They're too high maintenance, bro.
It's cap.
They be capping, huh, bro?
Right.
You know they gotta pick somebody in this gym. I guess they just pick me.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So what you just heard there was a clip from Jaden Daniels' Instagram Live. He was talking to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., two former receivers from LSU who are both in the NFL. Have both declared for the NFL draft. And he asked Jaden Daniels asked Malik Nabers, you know, what do you make about everyone saying that you're high maintenance? Malik Nabers said, look, they had to pick someone in this draft, and I guess it was me. So a little bit of context as to what they're talking about. This was a report from Tony Pauline, who's a consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at Sportskeeda.com. This is a report that says there are, quote, off-the-field questions that Nabers has had to answer to during the draft process. Teams must feel comfortable with those answers if they're going to invest an early draft pick in millions of dollars in his services, calling him high maintenance, and there were concerns about him being able to thrive in a big market, so to speak, being in a big city. How much are we buying it?
It's baffling to me how, you know, as you start to get closer and closer to the draft, all of a sudden these little tidbits of things start coming out. It's like, where did this has never been an issue, ever has been an issue. Nothing has ever come up about Malik Nabers and high maintenance. And what does high maintenance mean? What does that mean? Like, every Stephon player... Diggs. No, every NFL player is high maintenance, every NBA player, every MLB player, every NHL player. There are things that they need to thrive at their jobs. Mm-hmm. So they are, in a sense, high maintenance because you have to make sure that you have the things, you take care of your body the way it needs to be taken care of so you can play 17-plus games in the National Football League. So when you say high maintenance, what do you mean? Because if you're just saying, oh, he wants this, or, you know, he needs this, well, he has the money to pay for this and that. Those are the things that he needs to be successful at his job. Mm-hmm. So are you talking about things inside the building, What do you mean by high maintenance in a big city? What do you mean by a big city? I mean, obviously Baton Rouge's not huge, but it's not a small, you know.
It's no New York.
Exactly.
I will say that.
But it's
not like he's playing for a team that doesn't get a whole lot of
exactly.
coverage.
Exactly. Like LSU gets just as much coverage as any top team in college football. You know, and they just had the Heisman Trophy winner, so they were getting a lot of coverage. So I don't understand what this report is trying to do. Like, what are you trying to get at? What was your goal by putting this out? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because if your goal is to sort of, you know, lessen his value, that's crazy. Like, that's just completely wrong, at least to me. That's just completely wrong that you would throw something out there and not give, like, what you gave to everybody was, oh, this is him. People believe he's high maintenance. Okay, well, what does that mean? You're giving us this. You're not going in depth. You're just giving us surface stuff. Oh, he's high maintenance. So what does that mean? And is that, again, there are a lot of guys that are high maintenance, but high maintenance doesn't always mean bad.
I
don't get it.
I feel like I'm very fortunate that I haven't read too much into this stuff yet, because I feel like it's only going to build from here, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like you're saying, it starts creeping out. Mm-hmm. It's this, and then there'll be another guy. Then the test scores are going to come out.
Exactly.
And then something about an interview or something about a guy's social media post. They'll start surfacing everywhere. So it's just, to me, it becomes noise after a while. That's why you have people in for a visit, so you can make your own decision mm-hmm. on the guy's character. And then you have you trust your scouts and the way they accumulate real information. If your job is a scout and your method is sitting there going, well, let me just sit in my office and read every post that people say about this guy and every report that comes out on ESPN or 12 mock drafts, and you're just compiling information for that, you're probably not very good at your job. You're going to get a lot of misinformation. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to do the work on your own. So it's just noise.
You have to do the work. And I do believe in this process, there's not a stone that can go mm-hmm. unturned, because you never know, you know, how much the social media has been scrubbed and how much interview practice has gone on behind the scenes to kind of put up this facade of a person that may not be truly who that person is going to be. Or maybe in the pre-NIL era, mm-hmm. once they get paid, maybe they turn out to be kind of a different person than you initially interviewed with or you initially got to know.
Well, like, let's use CJ Stroud, right? Would that bombshell hit?
That's a perfect example.
And a couple days before the draft, I think it really had everybody guessing and wondering, well, what does this mean? This test has a lot of credibility. It seems like it's got a good track record. He didn't do well on the test. Man, what's going on? It just had everybody pausing. And don't you feel like an idiot if you bought into that mm-hmm. today, right? If you were buying into that a year ago, you're like, man, I'm such an idiot. I thought the guy must not be very good or not be...
Right.
It wasn't going to do well reading defenses. Well, the guy did pretty well.
I think a lot of times well. With these
And
reports,
even the guy from the test, to his defense, uh-huh. said, remember, he wasn't going to reveal the scores, but he said, you know what? What's been put out there, he did well in certain areas of the test. He said, I'm not going to get into it, but he sort of defended. He said, look, it's not what the noise is suggesting. And again, I go back to the word noise. There's mm-hmm. going to be noise. Mm-hmm. And remember, C.J. Stroud got a little, I didn't blame him, right? He got a little defensive when somebody threw a microphone in his face. He did do well on the test. Mm-hmm. Right? He was like, I'm not really worried about it. You know, but he was, you could tell it was kind of hurting him a little bit. People are saying all this stuff about me, and I just took the test, man. Like, we were all saying, did he not try on the test? And maybe some people don't test well, and what is this test really anyway? But it's just, again, this is that time of the year. Everybody overanalyzes the draft. And so it is just par for the course.
I'm not worried about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are stories that will come out pre-draft that are serious concerns, like Georgia defensive lineman who got drafted by the Eagles this past
Carter.
Year.
Was it Jalen Carter,
one? It came out a couple months before the draft.
The accident,
and he was involved, or maybe he knew more than he initially alluded to. Something like that, like a legal investigation.
Yes.
That is something that I think,
that's
a red flag. I need to talk to you about it. I really need to sit down and think, is that a guy that I want to invite into my franchise?
Absolutely. That's real information. That's where you do your own research, your own investigation. You get the info. That's important.
This, on the other hand, you say he's high maintenance and you're concerned about him keeping a level head in a big city. Why? What happened? Mm-hmm. Are there serious stories about him, you know, walking into a locker room and, you know, thinking that he's better than everyone else and getting into fights with coaches and other players and a laundry list of issues and actual tangible concerns about his character? Okay, let's talk about it. I've had conversations with people that would know. Mm-hmm. Within the LSU football program. And look, I know, take it with a grain of salt, because there's always going to be the people that talk up their own people. Mm-hmm. But everyone that I have talked to and everything that I have heard, they've said, I don't even know where this is coming from. Like, I don't even know what they could have taken from Malik's character or personality or anything that could have happened within the last couple of years at LSU that would lead anyone to believe that he's a problem. And let's be honest, D-Mace, I feel like you back me up here. Mm-hmm. Receivers are high maintenance.
Yeah, and it's true.
Necessarily a bad thing.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's, you know, because there's only one football.
Right.
And, you know, if you know you can make plays and you've shown you can make plays, you want to be involved in a game. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. And it just seems like, you know, defensive backs and wide receivers are probably the two most diva, you know, positions on the football field.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of it, they're by themselves. It's one-on-one, you versus me. But again, to me, it's irresponsible when you throw stuff like that and you can't give any examples.
Right.
You just say, oh, he's high maintenance. Well, give me an example of him being high maintenance, because obviously you talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, he won't. You're a little bit leery or concerned that he may not know how to thrive in a big city. Well, if that's the case, give us some examples.
Yeah.
Did he go on, during a bowl game when they went to a bigger city? Was he out of control? Did he go back home, you know, and get in trouble? What is it? Why are you saying these things? There has to be a reason. You just can't throw out there high maintenance and we think he may have trouble adapting to a bigger city. All 19, 20, 21-year-old men and women that you're giving millions of dollars to, they got to make an adjustment to the next city they go to. That's everybody. So tell me something different from the norm, mm-hmm, that you've found out that should make teams leery about drafting. Tell me. Mm-hmm. Don't just give me, oh, he's high maintenance. All right, he's high maintenance. Give me an example. And I guarantee you start stuttering or you start making up things. Okay, you say you're worried about him thriving in a big city. Give me an example of him acting an ass in a big city. Give it to me. Show me. Okay, then. Don't just flippantly throw this out because you're messing with people's lives. Mm-hmm. And you can do it and hide behind anonymity or hide behind my source. Damn your source. Don't do that to a young man like that or a young woman when they're trying to better themselves. There hasn't been a bad thing, at least that I've read, mm-hmm, about Malik Nabers. So why are you throwing this in the ring now?
I have a problem. If this is a case of a team trying to tank Malik Nabers' draft stock so he falls to them, mm-hmm, at whatever position they may be taking.
That's
and
dirty.
I don't know if that's the case or not. I'm just saying it wouldn't be the first time that something like that would have happened. That's dirty. That's messed up. Want to get into some of your thoughts on this? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle's on the line with the question on the draft. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Caroline. I'm a big LSU fan, too.
All right. Go Tigers.
We lost Autry. What would you think about Mason Smith? I know he's more of a third-round pick, but I wouldn't mind trading back and then, you know, just selecting him in the 40s or maybe 50s or something like that. Do you think he could? Because I've heard he's just rocked up, solid iron, 300 pounds of muscle. He can lose some weight and I know he can move. I watched his tape this weekend, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Kyle. Mason Smith is one of those that I think someone's going to be very lucky to find them in the third or fourth round. Mm-hmm. He's 6'6", 315 pounds, and he moves like a gazelle. He's got incredibly light feet. Mm-hmm. He just had an injury in his second year and came back in his third year and didn't really have that great of a season because nobody on that LSU defense really had that great of a mm-hmm. season. I think that's someone, you know, that the Titans could look at if he's available in the fourth round. And that's absolutely
He's an early entry to the draft.
After his third year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, because I've always, you know, when guys come off of knee injuries, the next following season is not going to be their best season. They're still getting acclimated to sort of, how do I play now that I've had this injury and I'm healing from it? I'm 100%, you know, healed from, you know, just from a, you know, structure standpoint, but mentally,
yeah,
you know, I still got to get over that hurdle. And it takes you sometimes a year, sometimes a half a year, sometimes a year. But then that next following season ends up being the season where we see, oh, okay, this is the type of player he is, mm-hmm. you know, because this is the type of player he was before the injury. So when you talk about, you know, a guy like Smith, like you said, he probably would be a steal in the third round. Why? Because now he's 2 years removed from that injury.
I think had he not gotten injured, he would have been a top 15 pick easily. It's just once he tore his ACL, his mm-hmm. career just kind of flattened out there and he never really came to fruition. I don't know if the Titans are going to be in that sweet spot to get him. I wouldn't take him at 38. I think mm-hmm. that's too high. I doubt he's available for the Titans in the fourth round. But if he falls to the Titans in the fourth round, I personally think that you would be getting a steal. Mm-hmm. All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, the Predators split games over the weekend. But looking beyond just the result, because I think more of the story was the process rather than the result from what we saw from this Predators team over the weekend against the Islanders and the Devils. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. Go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway in the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need.
A typical effort from Juice there, especially at the end.
Yeah, he was great. You know, I think he probably was a little unlucky bounce, and you kind of know Juice. He probably didn't feel great about that, and he was just going to make sure nothing else went in, and he did that tonight.
That was Andrew Brunette after the Predators' 3-2 overtime win at New Jersey went to a shutout. You see, what are you two looking up over there?
Well, he's educating showing. Yeah, he's educating himself on the word. Yeah, he's trying to figure out what it is. Yeah. Like, okay,
he's got to, you know, support the advertisers. Yeah, you know, learn what's going on.
Got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So the Predators take down the New Jersey Devils 3-2 mm-hmm. in a shootout. UC Saros does not allow a single shootout goal. I know I'm all thrown off. I'm all distracted.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It's Willie's fault, but go ahead.
It's all the Islanders 2-0.
I take responsibility. I'm sorry. I take full responsibility.
Willie, why don't you just go? Why don't you just go? You take the reins.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Well, it was a great weekend. And you used the word process going in, Caroline, and I think that is when the streak ended and they lost three in a row, mm-hmm. I think that was when all the worrying started. It's like, oh, man, I'm used to this situation where every morning I wake up after the game and it's a good story, right? They won, or there was a fluky way that they lost, but it was an overtime. You still got a point. And then when they lost three in a row, it's like, oh, man, what are they ever going to win again? But I think process is important in that. And over the weekend, I thought that was something that stood out. They only won one of the two games, and they had to come from behind to win last night. But in the process, they dominated. They did almost everything you would want to do. Now, I do think a question mark when they get into the playoffs will be, can they finish, right? They don't have, other than Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi, who's a great goal scorer from his position on defense, they don't have a ton of, quote, finishers, right? There are guys that they might only get one chance during the course of a game, but they're such good shooters, they're going to bury that chance a lot of nights. The Predators are not full of those guys. That's where they're hoping that they will improve in that area when these guys from Milwaukee mature, and maybe they get a bump over the next few years. But right now, what are they doing? They are controlling the puck, right? I've never seen such a simple thing. Like, it's like, duh. Like, when Andrew Brunette got the job, what do you like to do? What's your philosophy? I like having the puck. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have it, I want to get it back, because that's the best way to defend. They can't score if they don't have the puck. That they have put that into use so well that now you're surprised when you watch a game where they struggle. And, you know, what's ironic about the whole thing, the game that they beat the Blues on Thursday was probably the worst game they've had in that area, 5-on-5, in a good while. It looked weird. Like, they were getting badly outshot.
It was just about the result. Like, just get 2 points and move on.
And that's what was crazy about it, is they scored 6 goals and they won the game. But they didn't play real well. They didn't have the puck very much. But most nights, if you have the puck more, mm-hmm. you're going to get more quality chances. The other team has the puck less, they're going to get less quality chances. And if you have the goalie that is doing his job, which they have been doing the last, you know, for the most part, the last half of the season, so much better. UC Saros came up big last night when it really counted. You're going to win more often than you don't. You're not going to win every game. And that's why you have to have confidence that if you lose a couple, like they did on Saturday, it was just a weird game. You wake up Sunday morning, you're like, I still don't know how exactly you lost that game. Or especially, how did you not score one goal in that game? But if you look at the process, you're like, okay, did you do just about everything you wanted to do except score? Yeah. It sounds crazy to say, but that's what I think gives you confidence going into the playoffs, is that regardless of who you match up with, and I think there's some things that right now would have you pointing towards Dallas as the most likely opponent in the first round, even though Dallas is on fire right now. Mm-hmm. They are killing everybody. Everything's falling into place for them. I still think you would have confidence in your process that you can be competitive and have a shot against them, even if it's them.
Now, what would be, because there's an opportunity, you were saying, that making the playoffs, yes, but where would they sit in the playoffs? Are they the first wild card? Are they the second wild card? Now, if they get bumped out of the second wild card, obviously it would be the Dallas Stars that they're playing. What would be, other than the travel, what would be the positives, if there are any, because this is a damn good Dallas team? What would be the positives or the advantage for the Nashville Predators outside of traveling? Is it the goalie?
Well, the goalie for Dallas, Jake Oettinger, mm-hmm. is a big part of their formula. But a little bit like UC Saros, he hasn't had a great overall season. Mm-hmm. But recently he started to play great, and that's scary because that was
good timing.
He's talented, and he's had some excellent playoff series in the past, and he's capable of going on long stretches. So that really gives you concern. The Predators beat Dallas twice in Dallas, but they scored 5 goals. Like, I think their stuff, their system can be effective against Dallas, but I think you would be facing an even better Dallas team if Oettinger is right. And they also, for at least one of those games, were missing another key cog for them. That's Miro Heiskanen, their ace. He's kind of their Roman Josi, and so that was big. But I think all that being said, still, again, I like what the Predators do every night for the most part. They control the play way more than they have the past few times that they've made the playoffs, and so I think that gives them a chance. And the travel mm-hmm. for Dallas, I think, is also a plus. It's not a grind. Flying out to Vancouver, which is another possible opponent, that is a long, long ride. And thinking about having to go out there as many as 3 different times, that would be tough. That would be tough. Now, I think pick your poison. I think I still would pick Vancouver, because I don't think they have more question marks than Dallas mm-hmm. right now. The other thing that's developing too that we might see more of this week is Edmonton is making a little run here to try to grab the number one seed in the Pacific. They could overtake Vancouver if they have a super hot finish and Vancouver sags a little bit. So then pick your poison. You get the Oilers in the first round. Now, that's another team that scares the heck out of you on paper, just like Dallas does. But when you look closely at the meetings between the Predators and the Oilers this year, now not the past few years, because the Oilers have absolutely eaten the Predators lunch under the John Hines group for the most part.
Like
it was domination.
For some reason.
Domination. But this year has not been the case. I think they have hung in there with the Oilers a lot better. Now, they were earlier in the season. The Oilers have made a few changes, but I do think the Predators will go in there, would go into a series like that feeling like they're not quite as scared of that team as they were for a while. I think they were in their head, like, oh my gosh, we cannot keep Leon Draisaitl from having like 7 points, 5 goals and 6 assists, selling programs, just dancing on the logo. He could do anything he wanted.
Leon Draisaitl has to have the all-time Bridgestone Arena, like all-time goal scoring record for the, how many times he's played at Bridgestone Arena. He is unstoppable in that building. When you look back at this past weekend, the result is one thing. I look at that Islanders game and say, well, that was a goalie that was just standing on his head, and a goalie stole that game. And Predators fans know that all too well, at least whenever it benefits the Predators. When you see Soros just plays out of his mind and steals games. Take Jake Ottinger from the Dallas Stars, put him in net, and all things equal, all things the same, in New York, the Predators probably win that game. It's easy for me to just say that, but I think you can be encouraged from what you saw from over the weekend. And now the next thing for me is just go ahead and get in the playoffs so you don't have that weighing over your head. So you can give some of your veterans rest. So, Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg and Roman Yeh, they don't like a team that just looks honestly, frankly, kind of zonked, like kind of exhausted, can have rest before the playoffs. Get in and take care of business and then take a deep breath.
I think that will be a big question because until they clinch, even though the magic number is 1, and I don't know what Money Puck is saying today, but it's,
let's take a look.
It's going to be 99.9.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so inevitable now at this point that they should get there. But until they get there, until it's 100, they probably won't consider resting anybody. When that happens, let's hope it's tomorrow. They have a tough opponent in the Jets. The Jets have gone through a little bit of a dip and come back around. They look good now, and they are going to be in the 2 versus 3, right? That's any chance that the Predators have of catching the Jets, it's completely remote at this point. That being said, I do think the dilemma would be for Andrew Burnett, and a tough decision. I don't know if there's a right decision, but you tell me what you guys think. Mm-hmm. Is it worth not resting guys and trying to hang on to that number one wild card position? Or do you say, we don't care if it's wild card 1 or wild card 2, we got to rest some guys? How would you answer that? Because we don't know what's going on under the surface, mm-hmm. right? There could be some guys that could really use a game or two off at the end, right? Just to rest up. Maybe there's something just nagging that they need to rest for a couple days.
But what my thing is, what is the most important thing? Getting in the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
So you get that one playoff point. You get that point that puts it at 100% we're going to get in the playoffs, even though I think 99.9% is 100%. So you're going to make it. So
until
to
you
me,
get that X by your name.
Exactly. Until you get that X
by
your name.
It's literally now. Nashville would have to lose all 4.
A lot
in regulation, and the Blues would have to win all 4. That's the only way.
So my thing is if the goal is to make the playoffs, like the first step is to actually get in, to have a chance, you got to get in first. Mm-hmm. Well, once they get in, to me now it's like, okay, what is the goal here? What is the end goal? The end goal is to get through the playoffs as far as we can. Well, if that's the case, then we may need to rest some of our players. Now say if they win, tomorrow, when they play, they get their 1 point. Now, I think you do have to assess it. Look at your team. How tired are we? Do you think if we continue to play these next three or four games with everybody intact? Will I run these guys, you know, into the mud, or do I need to pull back? I think that's a question that Coach Bruno is going to, and I'm sure they've discussed that already. Yeah. You would have had to discuss it by now. Like, what do we do? The next two or three games, do we pull guys back or do we allow them to play?
Another thing to be aware of.
That we want to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, that's, I think you're, and it's hard because the positions keep shuffling every night. Now, Dallas winning last night, I think now has them, if you get wild card number two, you're probably going to get Dallas. I think that is becoming clearer. It's not 100%, but it's becoming clear. So the question is, do you want wild card one to avoid Dallas and get either Vancouver or Edmonton, or do you not care and say, we'll take Dallas. We'll take Dallas if that's what it takes. We need to rest some guys. And they do finish next Monday, a week from today. The season goes on for another couple days. So they have extra days rest than some teams. So that's something to bear in mind as well, that they'll have more of a gap between their last regular season game and their first playoff game than some of the teams.
So what's the priority?
Yeah.
Is the question. This is a conversation we'll continue to get into throughout the rest of the show and over the next couple of weeks. But coming up next, truly a sentence that I never expected to say really in my whole entire life, and especially not today. John Calipari leaving Kentucky to take the head coaching vacancy at Arkansas. Our reaction to the move, and it really, is it too good to be true for all parties involved? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.